بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome back everyone to another session, another episode of The Splendors of the Companions, a podcast brought to you by Masjid Al-Islah. So back with me, Ustaz Khairuzzaman. Inshallah, we will dive into a new story, a new companion to get to know about. And today's session will be quite interesting as we are going to learn about a companion that is actually quite less known to people. And in fact, in the books of history, we even can't find much biographical information about him. And that's interesting, because a less known companion, yet at the same time, we can learn from him. So this particular companion, he was famous because of a very interesting story that I think is worth to be told and worth to look at for some inspiration and lessons to be learned from. So inshallah, we will take a look at today's companion, whose name is Handala bin Rabi' al-Usaydi. So our companion for today, Handala, his name is Handala, he was from the tribe of al-Usaydi. As you know, every companion who was an Arab is affiliated to a particular tribe amongst the Arabs. So in this case, Handala is from the Usaydi family amongst the Bani Tamim, the clan of Tamim. And he was also known historically as one of the scribes of the Prophet ﷺ. Scribes here referring to those who wrote for the Prophet. As we know, the Prophet ﷺ, he in fact is somebody who was illiterate. He can't read nor write. So he had appointed a few of the companions to be his scribes or to be his personal writers, who would write down revelation, who would write down important messages and letters to be sent to important political leaders for diplomacy as well as other reasons as well. So I think that much is what is mentioned in the historical books. His name, his clan, at the same time, he was appointed as a scribe. Beyond that, surprisingly, we can't find much biographical information about him. But the only thing that we know of that is a particular story, and this story is mentioned in Sahih Muslim. It is a very beautiful story, and it is a reflection that the companions themselves, they are indeed human beings just like us. Their concerns are also the same concerns that we sometimes face and think about in our lives. So let's hear this amazing story from Handala. Okay, you can find it in Sahih Muslim. It's available there. So the story is about Handala. Handala is narrating the story for himself. So he's narrating once that Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he once met Handala. So he asked Handala, "How are you, Handala? How are you doing? Are you fine?" So Handala says, "Ya Abu Bakr, I have something to share with you. You know what? I think I had just become a hypocrite." In Arabic, he says, "Nafaqal, qad nafaqal Handala." I feel that I am becoming a hypocrite. So of course, Abu Bakr was shocked and surprised. Abu Bakr says, "Subhanallah, why are you saying this, Handala? You are not a hypocrite. You are a companion. You believe in the Prophet ﷺ. Why are you telling yourself that?" So Handala says, "I feel that I already become a hypocrite." So of course, hypocrisy is very heavy here. So what's the reason? So Handala continues the story. He says, "You know, whenever we meet the Prophet ﷺ, whenever we sit in front of him, when he discusses to us, you know, the pleasures of paradise, the beauty of Jannah, you know, the horrible torment of hellfire, the horrible things that are going to happen to those people who went to hell, who are going to hell, we feel as if we can see paradise right in front of us. We feel as if, you know, our imans are really high that we see hellfire in front of us, that we are so afraid, and we are so high-spirited to protect ourselves from hellfire. And we are also high-spirited to attain paradise." So when Abu Bakr heard that reason, Abu Bakr said the same thing. "You know what, Handala? I feel the same thing as you. I feel the same, you know, the feeling whenever we are in front of the Prophet ﷺ, our iman is so high. Whenever the Prophet mentioned about paradise, it is as if we are seeing paradise in front of us. But when we go back to our children, when we go back to settling our affairs with our family members, with our business, with our work, somehow that feeling disappears. Somehow we go back to our normal selves. So yeah, I can relate to you." So Handala, you know, from this statement alone, you can see that Handala is fearing for himself of becoming someone who is a hypocrite. Because in front of the Prophet, he has a very, he feels that he has a high iman. He feels that he can see paradise, as if he can see paradise in front of him. Yet at the same time, after going back home, after, you know, returning back to our normal lives, we go back to our normal selves. And this is something worrying. So Abu Bakr and Handalah felt the same thing. So Abu Bakr said, you know what? Let's go to the Prophet ﷺ and tell him whatever we are experiencing. Maybe he can, you know, give us some advice. So both of them went to the Prophet ﷺ and both of them met the Prophet. So Handalah proceed to tell the Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, I have something to tell you. So the Prophet said, go on. So Handalah says, Ya Rasulullah, qad nafaqal Handalah. You know, Handalah had already become a hypocrite. I am becoming a hypocrite. Whenever I'm in front of you, Ya Rasulullah, whenever I'm sitting in front of you and you are narrating these stories about the beauties of paradise, about those people who will enter Jannah, it is as if I can see Jannah in front of me. Whenever you are describing about the horrible torments of hellfire, it is as if I can see hellfire in front of me and I'm so scared and so afraid. Yeah, when I go back home, when I go back to my normal life, when I go settling the affairs of my family, go back to my wife, my children, my business, I go back to my normal life, I feel somewhat normal. The feeling of this iman somehow disappears. So I feel that I am a hypocrite because of this. So Abu Bakr, who was beside him, he says, Ya Rasulullah, I feel the same thing. Or I felt the same thing. So of course, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam smiled and he replied with one of the best statements that we can hear from him regarding this particular issue. So the Prophet ﷺ said, Ya Handalah, if you really think that if you consistently have this high-spirited iman, or you know, this mentality where you are as if seeing paradise in front of you, if you are consistently having this mindset 24/7, then the angels will come down to earth and actually shake your hand. They will shake your hand when you are walking. They will shake your hand in your houses. But Handalah, there is a time for this. And at the same time, there is a time for that. So with that, the story ends. And Handalah, there is the story. So this particular story of this particular companion, Handalah, as I've told you before, in the historical books, if you open up books of history, books about biography of the companions, we can't find much information about this person. Yet at the same time, this particular story is already enough to tell him, to tell us his character, to tell us his concerns. At the same time, his experience itself, his question to the Prophet is something I think even all of us share. All of us have this question. Whenever we go back home, whenever we go to the mosque, for example, we attend a religious lecture, we sit in front of an ustaz or ustaza, even maybe right now, as we are speaking, when we are listening to this podcast, MashaAllah, we are remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are engaging in ibadah. We are trying to our best to learn from the companions, to extract these beautiful traits in order for us to practice it in our lives, to become better Muslims at the end of the day. Yet, after we end this podcast, or maybe after we go back from the mosque, we go back home, or maybe after we finish our prayers, we go back to our normal selves, at the same time, we feel normal. This somehow high iman or this feeling of piety somehow disappears. And I know even myself, I myself sometimes have this worry. We sometimes have this concern, am I really, you know, am I a fraud? Am I just in front of the mosque being somebody who is pious, yet when I go back home, that piety somehow disappears? So here the Prophet ﷺ is actually giving some assurance to Handalah and the concern that he, Abu Bakr, and I think all of us face. This concern of, you know, being assured that it is impossible for us human beings to be like the angels, meaning having a mentality that for 24 hours we remember Allah, for 24 hours our iman is high, for 24 hours we have that, you know, consciousness of being afraid of hellfire and being excited to practice to go to Jannah. Because at the end of the day, we have careers, we have work to do, we have responsibilities, we hold on, we have a family to take care of. Yet at the same time, we are also living in this world with friends, with family members, with other people outside. So we have normal lives as well. And that of course will affect the way we think. At the same time, it will also affect our piety. So the Prophet ﷺ is telling Handalah, oh Handalah, if you really think that human beings could be like angels, meaning 24/7, having this mentality, having this high state of iman, the angels themselves will come down and shake your hand. Meaning, it is quite fine actually. You are a human being, you are a normal person. It's actually normal for us to, you know, have a high state of iman in one moment, And when we go back to our normal lives, of course, we are busy with our normal lives. We are busy with working. We are busy with taking care of our family, you know, enjoying our time with our family members, spending some time with our friends and all that. So it's quite normal. It is really normal to have a religious life. At the same time, it is normal to have a normal life. And that's why the Prophet ended his statement by saying, Sa'a, Sa'a, meaning a time for this and a time for that. So what we can learn from this beautiful story is that, number one, it is actually quite normal to feel as if we are not doing our best. Because at the end of the day, we aren't angels. The only important point is that we must feel this feeling. We must have this feeling in the first place. The fact that we have this feeling is an indication that we still have iman. The fact that we feel unassured of ourselves, that are we really being pious enough, is in fact a sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is telling you, continue your struggle. This is the path that is good for you, continue your struggle. Because people who have no feeling at all, people who this feeling itself is absent from their minds and from their consciousness, is somehow, you know, somehow prioritizing their life, their normal lives more than their religious life. Whereas as a Muslim, we need to balance both. We need to make sure our daily responsibilities as a father, as a son, as a student, as a employee, for example, are fulfilled. At the same time, we must also balance our religious life by fulfilling all the obligations that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made it wajib upon us. For example, our daily prayers. For example, our consumption of food and drinks and other such things as well. So we need to balance both life. But of course, we need to know also that the religious life is of utmost priority as compared to our normal lives. Because at the end of the day, we know that we are going to die. And this place is a temporary place we are living in. This earth isn't our homes. It is just a temporary place for us to rest, for us to, you know, collect some rewards, as you can, if you can say, and return back to our real homes. So where exactly is our real home? Our real home is actually in paradise. As you remember the story of Prophet Adam alayhi salam, he was the first human being. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had created him. And where did he place him? He actually placed him in paradise. So in actual truth, our homes are actually in Jannah. It's not on earth. So earth is actually a temporary place for us to stay, for us to follow Allah's commandments, for us to improve ourselves and be better so that we can somehow be, you know, people who are well deserved to enter our homes, which is paradise. Lesson number two, I think, is that we can see that alhamdulillah, this companion of ours today, who even though we don't know much about him, yet this particular trait is enough, which is the fear of hypocrisy. Imagine a companion. Imagine somebody who was groomed by the Prophet ﷺ. Imagine a person who had seen the Prophet ﷺ doing da'wah, participate with him in doing da'wah, following the struggles, at the same time practicing Islam as how they can. And even if you think about it, without them, Islam will never reach us in the first place. Yet he, in his state, has this fear of hypocrisy in himself. He, in this particular state of iman, feels that as if he is not doing good enough. What about us? And I think this question serves as a very important rhetorical question that we need to ask ourselves every now and then. It is a question that I myself ask, and I hope that each and every one of you, our listeners here, may Allah bless you all, ask the same thing. How are we at our iman? Are we really practicing our faith clearly? Are we really, you know, amending our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The fact that a sahaba felt this way, okay, it is actually quite important for us Muslims to follow suit and also to fear ourselves from hypocrisy. We should not be people who are too comfortable. Some people think that they are, you know, when they perform their obligations, they pray five times a day, they somehow cover their awrah, for example, they consume what is halal and leave what is haram. Yet they feel too comfortable. They feel that, you know what, I think my position in the sight of God is that I am noble. I am His beloved. You know, I am somebody that Allah loves. Yet we don't know for sure. So we can't be comfortable. And because of our comfortable state, this is actually a way for shaitan to come in. Because shaitan, okay, plays a lot of tricks to us. And one of his tricks is to actually capitalize on our comfortability. When we are comfortable, we think that we are doing good enough, shaitan will come and deceive us by saying, you know what, don't increase. Stay where you are and then don't increase. Feel that you are comfortable. Feel that you think that you are good enough. and stay that way. And because of that, we feel too comfortable, we slack, and because we slack, at the end of the day, even our obligations somehow are abruptly disturbed. So we don't want to be too comfortable with ourselves. We want to make sure that whenever we are in a high state of iman, number one, we must thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Always remember him, because at the end of the day, he was the one that provided us with the path. He was the one that actually made this path easy for us and actually, you know, give us the tawfiq to actually practice this faith. Never be too comfortable enough. Always have this fear of hypocrisy, because at the end of the day, we don't know if we leave this world while still holding on this path. And that is why every single day, if you realize, 17 times a day, we recite Surah Al-Fatiha, correct? And when we recite Surah Al-Fatiha, we say, Ihdina Surat Al-Mustaqim. Oh Allah, guide us to the straight path. Think about it. Alhamdulillah, we are now practicing Islam. We are now, you know, practicing this amazing way of life. Yet why are we still asking Allah for guidance? Why are we still consistently asking Allah 17 times a day for continuously to guide us? Because the fact that we don't know if we can still stay on this path. So do not be comfortable. Never, never, ever be comfortable. The fact that we always ask Allah to guide us means that we must show that we are trying our best to stay on this path. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also to make us those of the people whom continue to practice this path and at the same time leave and depart this world while still holding on to this path. So our scholars mentioned with regards to this hadith, where the Prophet said, a time for this and a time for that, meaning when you are busy with your daily lives, if you are busy with your normal lives, make sure you fulfill your responsibility. It doesn't mean that when the Prophet said, a time for this, meaning a time for your normal life, that you should neglect anything about our religion, you should neglect any commandment that Allah has given you. It is trying to say to you that if you are busy with your normal lives, focus on your normal lives. At the same time, fulfill the responsibilities given to you. Because at the end of the day, we know that fulfilling your amanah is part of our religion. That being truthful is part of your religion. That not backbiting somebody is part of your religion. And those are actually part and parcel of our daily lives. Sometimes when we converse with our friends, sometimes when we are at work, sometimes when we are with our families, we need to make sure we are also fulfilling our duties as well. And then when we are approaching our religious life, for example, we are performing our prayers, for example, we are paying our zakat, then we should do it as the best as we can and to make sure our actions, our amal salih, our good deeds are sincere. Because the most greatest deeds are basically the one that is the most sincere, when we have the most sincerity. So at the end of the day, this particular companion, Hanzala, I purposefully, you know, choose this particular companion. He is not someone who is well known, even in the historical books. If history itself did not mention anything about him except this particular story and except a few information about him, I think it suffices for us to actually know about this story, to learn from it. And of course, the story itself reflects our own concerns that we have as Muslims. So before we end this discussion, or before we end this podcast for today's session, inshallah, let me just share with you a particular dua that I think it's quite relevant for this sharing that I have with you today. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had indeed shared with us a very beautiful dua. And I think most of you know this, but this is just as a reminder for those of you who know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us a dua that is recited usually. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the dua is, Allahumma ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala dinika wa ala ta'atik. Yeah. Allahumma ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala dinika wa ala ta'atik. Which means, oh Allah, the one who controls the heart, the one who changes the states of the heart, please affirm my heart on your path. Please make sure my heart is consistently obeying your commandments and practicing your faith. It is a very beautiful dua. It is a dua that we must recite every single day because we need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to consistently guide us. We can't do this alone. We know we can't do this alone. We have a lot of distractions. We have our nafs. We have shaitan. We have a lot of things that could actually, you know, harm our iman. So we need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as our ally, as somebody we could hope for and rely on to make sure we are on this path. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us this consistency, this istiqamah, this iman, at the same time to not give us this feeling of comfort at the same time, to always be well aware and mindful of our faith, and to have this fear of hypocrisy, just as how this great companion Handala did. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of you, and thank you for listening.